It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
On this next question, this next thing I'm going to drop on you, I can't imagine it going in one particular direction, but it might, and I will explain. The Fresno City Council is considering paying for the defense of its president, happens to be Nelson Esparza. He faces criminal charges of attempted extortion. Okay? You know the story. Now, these details remain a little gloomy, shrouded, unclear, but discussions over whether to use the public funds to pay for his defense have, you know, been included on two recent closed session agendas. And Esparza recused himself both times, according to the meeting minutes. State law gives the city the right to pay for the criminal defense. I said that when Gary was here. State law can say, yeah, sure, you can go ahead and do that. The city has the right to pay for the criminal defense costs of an elected official, although it's not a requirement. They don't have to. Don't have to at all. Now, sources are telling, you know, some of the local news media entities that items on the council's June 23rd and July 21st meeting agendas focused on paying those legal fees. And the sources that cannot speak, you know, on the record because of the conversations took place in a closed session. So the Fresno District Attorney Office alleges Esparza threatened then-city attorney Doug Sloan's job in April, telling him to only perform work for certain members of the council and not perform for all of them. Scary stuff, right? Scary stuff. So do we pay or do we not pay? I mean, it gets down to that. You know, Sloan announced he was leaving the position soon after, and he's now the city attorney down in Santa Monica. Now, this wasn't the sole reason that he left. I want to be perfectly clear here. He was anticipating taking this job, I believe, just about the time the incident did occur. Esparza faces one count of attempted extortion and a misdemeanor count of violating the city charter. His arraignment is set for September the 20th. Now, if convicted, the maximum penalty is 3 years in jail. Right? You got that? Esparza has denied the allegations and, in his only verbal statements on the matter, said he plans to remain on the council and continue serving as president. I thought for sure that he would probably step aside and wait until this thing was heard one way or the other, at least as a member of the council. But no. He's continuing to do it all as if nothing's happened. And Esparza, through a campaign spokesperson, declined to comment on, you know, the story. Now, some council members said the discussions about paying for Esparza's criminal defense should be held publicly. Yeah, they should. Quote, would I support public discussion if that was legally permissible? I certainly would. I support most things being out in public. That from Gary Bredefeld, who was in here earlier. Councilman Mike Carbasi also supports an open discussion. I would also support a standing policy that taxpayer money never be spent on criminal defense of elected officials, so said Carbasi. Hear, hear. And Councilman Tyler Maxwell declined to answer. Okay. Other council members, Miguel Arias, Esmeralda Soria, Luis Chavez, and Esparza, did not respond to any requests for comments. I'm not surprised. So multiple sources speaking on the background and say that the first closed session discussion revolved around Esparza's pending defamation lawsuit against a fellow council member, Bredefeld. State law allows leeway to cover such litigation. Now, the second discussion focused on Esparza's criminal charges. So as it is, you know, the city can pay if the city decides to. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if the votes went in such a way that it wound up in his favor with the city picking up the freight. I think it's dead wrong. Absolutely wrong. We'll see. I mean, one source said the city council voted 5-0 in two votes to pay for both sides of the civil lawsuit. Another said it was just a briefing on the situation, and the city attorney and the other city manager made let me back up there. Another said it was just a briefing on the situation, and the city attorney and or city manager made an administrative decision to fund either Bredefeld's defense, Esparza's lawsuit, or both. Could a decision to defend a lawsuit be made unilaterally by the city's administration? What could happen there, you know? That depends upon the city's charter or the administrative code and the terms of who is authorized to make that type of decision. In San Francisco, for example, the city attorney does not seek Board of Supervisors approval for defending lawsuits. No, interesting. Okay. So there it is, basically in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Should the city use taxpayer money, mine and yours, to pay for the criminal defense of Nelson Esparza, the president of the council? Yes or no? 490-5858. I mean, you got to call me on this one and explain your position, please. Please. Section 803 covers the role of the city attorney and what the district attorney's office alleges Esparza violated. So during the July 21st closed session item, 3 days after the charges were filed, the city council learned that Esparza's criminal defense could be covered. An extension of the, you know, information received on June the 23rd. So a motion was made to prevent the city from covering Esparza's criminal defense, but it failed, 4-2. The action was never reported publicly, but now you're hearing about it. And, you know, experts contacted, the media were uncertain about whether such actions needed to be made public or not. I don't even know if I have an opinion on that one. But, all right, that's it in a nutshell. Oh, by the way, you do know that Esparza dropped his defamation lawsuit in June. I mean, in part because the city would pay for, you know, Bredefeld's defense. So, you know, he certainly is not going to buy into that. That's where I'm going to leave it. There's a lot more technical stuff here, but that's the basis of it. That's the basis of it. Should Fresno's taxpayers foot the bill for Councilman Esparza's criminal defense? Yes or no, and your reasons why. Either way. You ready? All the phone lines are available. Hit them hard. 490-5858. 490-5858. And hopefully you'll be there when we come back on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ and the Ray Appleton Program. That's me.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
Let me make this clear, all right? I'm asking you what you think about the council paying for the defense of Nelson Esparza, not what you think the council will do. The council will probably wind up paying for the damn thing. They'll vote in the majority. If it's veto-proof, it's going to take, what, 5, I think? I'm not sure. I'll have to check the ruling on that. But anyway, phone calls, not many so far. John, you're on KMJ. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I say pay for it, but if he's found guilty, he has to pay it back.
Okay, pay for it, but if he's found guilty, he's going to pay it back. Why do you put it that way? What are your reasons behind that?
Well, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty.
True.
So he does work for them. So, you know, they should pay for it. And then it's like anything. It's like, you know, police officers pay into a fund, a legal defense fund, and if they're found guilty, you know, I don't know if they really pay it back because there's nothing that they're paying. But it seems like if you're in public office, you'd have some type of funds that you would probably set aside to, in case something like this happens, you would have something to pay. But you know what? Like I said, city paid for it. If he's found guilty, he pays it back.
All right.
That's it. Done deal.
Thank you, John. Read you loud and clear on that one. I hadn't thought of that aspect, but maybe that's the way it should fly, you know? Your opinion, folks, what do you think should happen? Should the city pay for his defense or what? Now, he is a gainful, I guess, elected employee of the city, right? So maybe they have some liability, not liability, but some reasoning to pay for it. Again, state law says that a city can pay for it, but they don't have to. It's up to basically the individuals if they want to or not via vote. Now, most likely, I think they'll vote to make sure that it's covered by the city. But that's not the issue. I'm asking you what should happen. Should he pay for it? Should the city pay for it? 490-5858. Your opinion on that one. Should the taxpayers front the money on this, or should he do it himself? I mean, what's the other option? James, you're next on KMJ. Hi. Hello there.
Hello.
Hey, there you are.
Yes. I believe he have to fetch up the bill for the problem he started with. And if he wins, he can go after the other council for damages. But he have to borrow his own money. This way, the next guy is not going to do no wrong because they know they have to cough up their own money. That's my opinion.
Okay, so you think he should pay for it?
Yes, regardless.
Right. Regardless.
And if he wins, he can sue the other council for defamation of character.
Okay, all right. I see that. Yeah, all right, James, thank you. I get that. Varied opinion so far. Not going to be any middle ground on this. I mean, how could there possibly be? So the question again is, should the taxpayers fund the money? Or is he on his own with this one? 490-5858, him being Nelson Esparza, who's the president of the council, who has been charged with, you know, some stuff that is not real good. Jess, you're on KMJ. Hi.
Without a doubt, no.
No. No what? No.
No, absolutely. No, the taxpayers should not pay for it.
The taxpayers should not pay for it. Okay.
Oh, absolutely not.
Why?
Why? I mean, what makes him any different than you and I? Who's going to pay my defense? He should be paying it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Okay. Read you loud and clear. Thank you, sir. You know, this is the criminal charges are attempted extortion. All right. And if he's convicted, he's going to be in some deep doo-doo. He could go to prison for 3 years. Then what? But that still doesn't take away from the question as whether the Fresno taxpayers should pay for this or not. So far we've had one individual. The first caller was intriguing. Says we should pay for it, and if he loses, then he should pay for it. I guess that makes sense to a degree, you know. What do you think? 490-5858. Should the city pay for it, meaning the taxpayers, or is he on his own in this one? It's a tough question. I do see both sides. You know, in many situations, if you're a public entity, whoever you're a public entity for, whether you're a radio talk show host or whether you're a councilman, sometimes the person that you are working for, the entity that you're working for, carries liability insurance to cover this stuff if indeed you get popped. And sometimes that liability insurance can be very expensive, too, at the same time. I don't know if the city carries anything like that. I have no idea. No idea whatsoever. Anyway, back to the phones. 490-5858. Tracy, go ahead. Hi.
Yeah, hey, Ray.
Hey.
My personal opinion is absolutely not.
Why?
It's criminal charges. I don't care where it happened or what it was. Okay, so let's say he's on his way to a city-sponsored function, and he drinks before he gets behind the wheel, but he's on his way, he's on official business, he's on his way to some sort of something, and he gets pulled over for a DUI. Are we supposed to pay for that too? What, you know, what if he's having another one of his fancy parties for at the taxpayer's dime for his employees, and they decide, oh, we forgot the napkins, and he runs to the store to get napkins, and you know, I mean, come on. No. Charges are criminal charges.
And that may be the dividing line for a lot of people that say that, you know, he needs to foot this himself because he made a personal threat, alleged personal threat against the attorney. You know, this wasn't, you know, city business. This was his business. He was saying, you know, you're going to do it my way or the highway. And that, you know, kind of draws a line in the sand saying that he brought this on himself. This is something that he wanted himself. You know, for it to, the attorney to play along with him and the other gang of three or gang of four or whatever they are. So, Tracy, thank you. From that aspect, maybe, yeah, maybe that's the correct thing. You know, this is all yours, babe. You made your bed. Now you got to sleep in it. Jim, you're next on KMJ. Hi.
Yeah. I have not heard from previous calls or whatever. I just tuned in. But if this a lawsuit where Bredefield had indicated that the council people were spending their funds illegally?
That's not this. No.
Oh, okay. But if he has rules that he has broken for the city and put the city at risk, then he should pay for it. Period. But if he knew the law going in and he broke the laws, he should pay for breaking the law.
And I think he probably knew what he was asking the city attorney to do was wrong. Work for him and the people that are in his, you know, side of the political spectrum and nobody else. He had to know that was wrong. Jim, thank you. Joe, you're next on KMJ. Hi.
Hi, Ray. I'm sorry. I think we should not be paying for it. And the reason why is his threat was done under the color of authority. As a sitting councilman and as a president of the council, he had the authority over the city attorney and could hire and set up methods of hiring and firing him. So therefore, we should not be paying for his defense based on the fact that he operated under the color of authority, and he was the person in authority position. This is the same kind of thing as if it were a sexual harassment case.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Interesting. We're getting some very, you know, a lot of the majority of the people that have called in don't want the city taxpayers to pay for it, but for differing reasons. Interesting. 490-5858. Should the city taxpayers foot the bill for Nelson Esparza's criminal defense? And the criminal charges are attempted extortion. Getting the city attorney aside saying, it's my way or the highway. I want you to do the bidding for just the majority of us. There are four of us and screw everybody else. And you can kind of see where that's kind of wrong. All right, your calls are coming up, 490-5858. You know the number. Should the city pay for this or not?
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
It's free.
KMJnow.com.
So we have this issue of will the taxpayers of Fresno pay for the councilman's criminal defense, Councilman Nelson Esparza. Charges are, you know, attempted extortion. And then there's the other issue that's kind of prickly that Gary Bredefield had his 1 o'clock press conference about, and he was in here earlier It's a $1 million grant to Fresno's Planned Parenthood, which some see as a very big, unnecessary giveaway of state funds for the A word, you know, which no middle ground on that one. But on this issue of paying for the councilman's defense, Peggy, you're on KMJ. Hi, talk to me.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with the previous callers that he should pay for it, but I had a thought, like, if the city does agree that they're going to pay for it, give him a public defender. How about that?
Well, yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, to what degree are we going to pay for it? Are we going to, you know, hire the best attorney possible out there? Very good point, Peggy. Thank you. What would be the, yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I hadn't even thought of that. All right. I'm going to wrap this up shortly, just basically because I'm running out of time. Nelson Esparza, as you know, the president of the council, has been accused of a lot of things, playing with his money, you know, in a way that maybe wasn't quite representative of a council president. But this is the big one. He's been charged by the DA with attempted extortion. And this goes back to the city attorney, Doug Sloan, threatening him with his job, telling him to only perform work for certain members of the city council and not for the others. Now, that's ugly stuff. Ugly stuff he had to know was wrong. And obviously he didn't think he was going to get ratted out, if this is true. So he faces one felony count of attempted extortion and a misdemeanor account of violating the city's charter. And his arraignment is the September the 20th. And if convicted, the maximum penalty is 3 years in jail. So, should the taxpayers foot the bill, which the state says, sure, that can happen, but it's up to the council. It's up to, you know, or should he, you know, pay for it himself? Mike, you're on KMJ. Hi.
Hey, Ray, how's it going?
It's going.
A couple of points. One question that might need to be asked is, was he acting on his own volition, or was he acting on behalf of the other three council members that he was protecting?
Sure.
And it would be interesting to know if, you know, there was a violation of the Brown Act behind the scenes and whether or not there was some type of collusion or anything like that. The other is, if the city does decide to defend him, are they all in, even if he does an appeal? Are they you know, compelled to pay for the appeal as well? So those are my comments.
Good ones. Very good ones. Yeah. Yeah. And don't know. I mean, we don't know where this is going to go. 490-5858. Again, if you're just joining us, and we have to wrap this up very quick here, will the taxpayers of Fresno foot the bill for the councilman's defense? And he's been charged with, you know, criminal charges of attempted extortion. And, you know, if the council votes in a majority fashion to throw the taxpayer money at him and be defended, I guess that's basically how it would work. Hopefully, the council will back, in my opinion, back away from this. He did this. He made his bed. He's got to sleep in it now. So, therefore, my opinion, no. Taxpayers, don't get involved with this one. Danny, you're next. Hi.
Hey, Ray. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi there.
I just want to see, I mean, if he doesn't really have the money to pay for a lawyer, does he, you know, can he get a public defender maybe, just like everybody else?
Well, sure. That's what one person suggested, yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that would be the case, yeah.
If you can't afford it, I mean, I'm pretty sure the city pays you enough to be able to afford a lawyer, but if you can't afford it, then go get you a public defender.
Yeah, yeah. You're not alone with that opinion. You're not alone with that opinion. Thank you, Danny. I mean, if he can't afford it, I mean, that's what's going to happen. And then the city does wind up paying for it, or the county or whatever it is. You know, and first off, let's understand that these people don't make a whole lot of money by today's standard. I think as the council president, he gets 100 and something. Which, I mean, that's a nice chunk of change, but that's still not, you're not able to go out there and get Melvin Belli if he were still alive. One of the most famous attorneys in the world. Remember when he used to be on the program all the time, going way back? I hadn't thought about that. For years, Melvin Belli was a fan of the program. He would listen up in San Francisco. But, yeah. So, any more? Phones are completely void of calls now. So if you've been trying to get through, you will. 490-5858. Should the city pay for the councilman's defense or not? Yay or nay? Now, somebody has asked, well, how much would that be in an email? And we have no idea how much that would be. You know, I don't know that we can base it on that and say, well, because it's under so-and-so, we can go ahead and pay. Uh-uh. Victor, you're on KMJ. Hi.
Hey, Ray.
Hey.
If he was under the color of the county, the color of authority, and he did what they're accusing him of doing, then the city should pay for his attorney. But if he was acting on his own and against the council and against the authority that he has and the charter, then it's his own deal. Then his own, it's his business, and he should pay for his own attorney if he had done wrong. So my point is, if he's under the color of authority as a council member, then they should pay. And if he's on his own, then it should be his own.
Define what you mean by color of authority.
The charter of the county, whatever the county
now,
says.
Now remember, yes, this is all city stuff.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, it's city. Same thing. It's under that authority. And had their permission to do what he did.
Okay, I get it now.
Then they should go ahead and pay for the attorney. But if he did this on his own accord, and it's his own problem, then it's his own defense. Make sense?
Yeah, it, to a degree. Yeah, thank you. One more here, then we're going to have to break. Cal, go ahead.
You know, Ray, I don't know if anyone else has said this, but I think the reason we shouldn't pay for it is because we are the party on the other side. We're fighting against ourselves. The same reason you shouldn't have government labor unions. They're lobbying against ourselves.
Ah, okay. All right. Thank you. I dig that. Yeah. All right, let's take the final break. If you have anything you want to add to the end of this as we move on and surrender to Skiff and Phillip, do it. 490-5858. If you want to use a toll-free number, that's fine. 800-776-5858. As we discuss as to whether the taxpayers of Fresno should pay for Councilman Nelson Esparza's criminal defense, or should he do it himself? The state does allow for this. The state says, yeah, it can happen, but do we want it to happen? That's up to you, sort of. We'll be right back.
Right now.
The Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
If you haven't heard yet, this has been a day of talking about public servants and criminal charges. There's a new federal grand jury indictment. Charges against a former councilman. I got councilman on the brain. Congressman from this area. And this, looking at my email and messages and all this, doesn't surprise a lot of you. T.J. Cox has been charged with 28 crimes, including campaign law violation and for wire fraud in acquiring a loan for the construction of Granite Park. Boom! The grand jury charged him with like 15 counts of wire fraud, a whole bunch of counts of money laundering, I think one count of financial institution fraud. And that, I believe, was on a mortgage. And then there was a count of making what's called conduit contributions to his congressional campaign. That one's ugly, in 2017. When we're talking about these conduit contributions, it was like, here's what he did. Here's what he did. I want to make sure I explain this correctly. This is an accusation of funneling money to business associates and family members for them to donate to his congressional campaign in 2017. Ooh, that's ugly. That's nasty stuff. So the grand jury found evidence that he's defrauded investors in an almond processing company and a tax credit investment company, and he lied to get loans for Granite Park and for a home mortgage. So in the five felony counts involving Granite Park, the grand jury charged Cox with using tax credit money to guarantee the loan, but prosecutors said he did that without consent from his co-owners. And then the lender wired more than $1.28 million to Cox's sports nonprofit, but that loan is now in default, and the big news there is the city may be asked to pay it off. Not good. He was booked in Fresno County Jail this morning. Now, completely non-related. Soon, this fall, you will be able to go into a pharmacy and buy a hearing aid without a prescription, without anything. This is a long-awaited rule that's being finalized. It's being finalized today. The FDA, Food and Drug Administration, said the new regulation cuts all this red tape by creating a new class of hearing aids that don't require a medical exam, a prescription, other than, you know, evaluations as to what kind of hearing aid you might want to get. Instead, the devices will be sold online or over the counter at pharmacies and other retail stores. This is wild. The devices are intended for adults with mild to moderate hearing problems, and the FDA estimates about 30 million adults, 30 million, could potentially benefit from the hearing aid use, but only about a fifth of the people with hearing problems use the devices currently. Why is that? Maybe it's money. The FDA first proposed the rule last October. The new rule is going to take place mid-October. Quote, today's action by the FDA represents a significant milestone in making hearing aids more cost-effective and accessible. And that's from Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra in a statement. The move follows years of pressure from medical experts and from consumer advocates to make the devices cheaper and easier to grab onto. And cost has been a big obstacle. Between the device itself and fitting the devices, you can pay maybe more than $5,000 to get a hearing aid. Insurance coverage is kind of limited, and Medicare doesn't pay for hearing aids at all, only diagnostic tests. So the new over-the-counter status won't apply to devices for more severe hearing loss. And that will remain, you know, on a prescription-only basis. And, you know, who makes that decision? What's going to be considered more, you know, a bigger case over another? Consumer electronic companies for years have produced lower-cost personal sound amplification devices, but U.S. regulations bar them from being marketed as hearing aids unless they undergo, you know, an FDA review. And the new rule makes it explicit that these devices are not alternatives to FDA-vetted hearing aids, all right? Companies that market them inappropriately, now they could be facing some big penalties, such as, you know, product seizures or big-time fines. So the FDA says it changed several parts of the initial proposal in response to public comments, including clarifying how the federal rule is going to impact state regulations on hearing aids. So this is a very big deal. What's it going to do to the industry? I mean, the opening statement on this is it's creating a different class of hearing aids. That remains to be seen what those are and how they're going to work, you know? All right, I got to scoot. I got to get out of here. We'll see a few of you tonight. Crawdaddies, big comedy night down there. You've been suckered into hosting again. Yeah, I have fun doing that. I like it. Remember, I used to be in that business. I had my own club for about, what was it, 7 years or so. So I kind of know a little bit about it. So we'll be down there doing that. I will see you. I think both shows are sold out tonight and tomorrow night. But give them a call and see if they can fit you in. And maybe, you know, maybe you'll get lucky. All right, Skip and Phillip are coming up. They will talk a little bit more about TJ Cox for sure on this very radio station, KMJ. Right now, Michael Dramanuel Jr., his daily take on the news. I'm Ray Appleton, and you're not.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.